I do have some feet problems, and my shoes rub my foot kind of wrongly. Can I put this down a little bit? I'm just looking at a black spot when I look at your face. Anyway, got to look at some notes. I'm trying to keep myself from going down too many rabbit trails. I trust you're living forgiven. And I was minded to talk a little bit, and in my notes I have stop on that subject and go into a message. But Tyler did a good job with introducing us today, and I'd like to open it up and say, children up to 12, okay, you know who you are, what is the day besides the 4th of July? What is another word we use besides the 4th of July? Yes. Who was that? Raise your hand. All right. Very good. Independence Day. Now, I'll find out where this person is. Is your mic ready? Your mic's ready. Townsend, I was prompting him a little bit. Where's he at? There he is. Anyway, I asked him several weeks ago, and he had forgotten it, but I prompted him again this morning. How do you connect 4th of July and Christianity?
Well, I guess the obvious comparison would be to the colonists struggling against the British Empire for freedom would be compared to us struggling against sin and evil in the world every day, trying to overcome Satan, whereas the colonists were trying to overcome the British Empire.
British Empire, we don't know this, and what I'd like to do also is... I think Tyler did very well in saying on the 4th of July, what does that mean to children and to us? It means firecrackers and snap, crackle, pop. And by the way, snap and crackle started liking each other and they got married and decided they wanted some children, but they couldn't have any. Scott, you know that answer, don't you? So they went to the counselor, and he said, well, it's very evident, but the problem is you don't have any pop. So that just lightens it up a little bit. Maybe I'll feel a little bit more comfortable up here with a little humor. It's a joke. So what happened today that we have now for 245 years or... I don't know when Independence Day was proclaimed as a holiday. What happened 245 years ago? Youth. That's a question for you, youth. What happened on Independence Day? Right. Very good. And so that happened in what year? Right. So in 1876, what do we do? It was an anniversary, right? 100 years. We call it the centennial. So another 100 years was... Some of you won't remember this day, but Susie and I do. I don't remember the exact day and what happened on that day, but it was the bicentennial. That means 200 years before the Declaration of Independence was signed. Now, went to a speech class one time, and he said, Well, the first thing you do is you tell them what you're going to say, and then you say it, and then you tell them again. Does that make sense? But I think we'll pass these out right now. We have a little bit of a declaration of our New Holland independence right here. And all you're getting is the cover. And what I really had in mind to do this morning, and I just know that we aren't going to have time to do that, was to play a little clip of this. And I would like to suggest that on maybe a Wednesday evening or sometime, it can be very boring, but this is available. And there were 7 articles in the Constitution. And in your little booklet, and on the cover, I wrote them down. There are 7, I guess we call them constitutions that we as a church have decided on, or bylaws, if you please. I think that's synonymous. The statement of faith is in the inside cover. And it's very, very, very well done. I am going to ask Christian to read that statement of faith in a little bit so you can be prepared for it. To proclaim by word and action the good news of the gospel and to fulfill the commandment of Christ in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And to proclaim the exemplify the Lordship of Christ and encourage obedience to the requirements of the Word of God in Luke 6:46. Scott, why don't you look that up? Or maybe it says it here. And why call ye me? Yeah, it does say it here. I'm sorry. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? To provide, here's another point, to provide fellowship, get this, encouragement, and Bible teaching to believers. How well are we doing that? That's a question. Challenge for me. We're to encourage, we're to fellowship, and we're to teach. And we do that. Sundays and to encourage in the fellowship. Now, one thing I'd like to bring out, even though we live in a country of freedom, the Constitution has 7 units to it. And the first 2 we can remember real well. Freedom of religion, freedom to worship, freedom to speak, promote the gospel. And I'd like to just for you to think about this a little bit. Some of these, and also the second one, the freedom to bear arms, is in the news, and it's in jeopardy. Let's face it. America is not on the good side of God right now. And I remember teaching Sunday school class back at Calvary, and in one quarterly, 7 times, the children of Israel would do like we said in our Sunday school class, follow the world, forget about God, turn their backs on God. What happened when America took the 10 commandments off the world? We were turning our back on God's commandments, weren't we? So when we turn our back on God, we lose God's protection, His blessing. Why do we have all these riots and burnings of cities, destroying property? We have lost some of God's protection. God's not going to force Himself on us. We have liberty and freedom to walk with God, and it should be. We really know what that means. It should be a privilege. And we talked about this in Sunday school class. Many Christians warm a bench, be in church Sundays, and give their tithes, and so the Christians. But we should strive to have a daily communion with God. And I'm going to say that, and I'm going to say something that some of you ain't going to like. If reading the Bible daily becomes a chore or a law or a burden to you, stop. But look for every day, everywhere you go, look for a privilege to be a servant of God. There's people out there hurting, just like this Brother Yoder. We were in Shipshawana at JoJo's, and some of the big honchos of Shipshawana, and I happened to drop on them, Alan Miller, and this Yoder brother, make a weekly event out of being there, encouraging each other. Several other brothers were there. And when he and I got her by ourselves, he told me a little bit about his life, and also told me that he's a friend of Irvin Weaver Jr. And I'm sorry, I don't know what his first name is. Did you think of it, Irvin? Brother Yoder, we call him Brother Yoder. Anyway, he has a thriving business, very busy man. He can multitask. I was talking to him, and he said, "Go ahead, talk. I'm still doing my work here." And he had about thought in front of me, front of him, and was keeping on working. But he said that his son loved the bike ride, motorcycle ride, and he did too. And he's been all over. He's been down here in South Carolina with his motorcycle, been out west. And they were looking forward to riding this summer together. But the way things went, his son was riding his motorcycle, and truck pulled out. Didn't see him on the passing on the left side passing him, and truck pulled right out in front of him. Was fatal. So there's a lot of needed people out there. So be open. Be open for that, and you'll. If you and I would like to today at the end, if we have time, and I had to battle with God on this, and said, "I said, God, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not ordained. I'd like to give the opportunity for anybody that wants to dedicate their life, come up here at towards 12 o'clock." But anyway. If you pray in the mornings, not me, just a prayer, Susan, I have, Lord, there's somebody out there that needs encouragement. Didn't we read that just a while ago? Provide fellowship, encouragement, and Bible teaching. Somebody out there is hurt. Help me find somebody. It might be somebody walking beside the road. And then, by doing that, my family says, "Dad, quit that. You don't ever know. That person might shoot you, try to rob you, whatever." So when we walk with God, we have a protection that could be sometime God's going to be done with us. What a better way to go than to be about His work. But if you practice your faith, and you'll be surprised what happens. I have been so surprised. The other, back when Todd was here, he gave an invitation, and I knew I needed to get up there. And thank you, Diane, for coming up too that day, and others too. So dedicate your life to God, and you'll be amazed at what happens. Statement of faith, Christian. He needs a mic, probably. Or, no, he's got a pretty good voice. Mic's coming, though.
Trying to say I got a big mouth. Our statement of faith is, as adopted in the 1963 Mennonite Confession of Faith, we believe that our supreme responsibility is to fulfill the great commission of our Lord to evangelize the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Son of the living God, by his virgin birth, appeared among men as the Lamb of God to make atonement for the sin of all men by shedding his precious blood on the cross. He died, buried, and rose from the grave on the third day, and ascended into heaven, where he alone reigns as the one mediator between God and man. We are committed to work together in love with all born-again Christians to accomplish this task for the literal, invisible return of our Lord Jesus Christ. His kingdom shall have no end.
That is somewhat similar to the Declaration of Independence that we have as a congregation here. I'd like to say we've got a lot going for us, really. So on the front of your little folder that you have seven statements, our constitutions, our bylaws, and they're named there. And I've written all over the front of this, but this is a little booklet. I got the pages numbered on there, and I'm not sure if they're available out back or not. Probably not yet, but they will be. And it gives principles of guidelines. Membership, Article 3, objectives, Article 2, and so on, New Holland Mennonite Church. It gives Article 4 is leadership, lead pastor and so on, trustee boards, congregational meetings, and amendments. And I did want to say this, and I'm not sure, I've got a note here that has the people. If something good comes out of this speech this morning or this, I would like to give credit to some people that have helped me. You, as prayer warriors, have helped me. And there's some that I really like to name here. The librarian in Wagner. Can't think of her name right now. She copied numerous pages out of the encyclopedia. And Pastor Owen. And here's something. How many of you school students know this, have seen this book before? Have you seen this book before? Now, if you go to the public school, this would be a requirement in order to get credits. Anyway, Pastor Owen shared this book with me, gave this book for me to use, and somebody mentioned here in Devotions, I believe, Tyler, you mentioned about our bondage to Europe. And Europe Britain was not too friendly to us. I mean, it was friendly, but they wanted their revenue, their taxes. And therefore, you had such happenings as the Boston Tea Party and so forth. Anyway, there are, I think, James is not here. He would get us straight, but there are seven amendments, seven constitutions, 27 amendments. And the first 10 of those amendments are considered the Bill of Rights. I thought that was interesting. Now, just about where my notes here say stop, go on another subject, go on a message. Anyway, I do think that we need to honor and respect and be grateful and thankful for America, USA. And we should be alarmed. Some of our freedom is being threatened. And what do we do about that?
Pray.
Pray. I think that's a clue. We could vote. Some people do. Some people don't. We've been given that liberty. But this last election, vote didn't count too much, did it? A whole lot of fraud, cheating, lying. Pastor Owen and my secretary, Rachel Inlow, she takes me back praying. Kevin Troyer gave me a lot of input, my son-in-law, on this. And Kevin, I'm sorry, I know you're watching this, but I forgot that one line that I really wanted to keep. I'll probably think of it sometime. Pastor Bill, with Bible study, gave us a challenging Anyway, here's what he said. He said, Ray and Tim Johnson, a neighbor here, you know, statistics show, when I said shared it in class, so many of you just plug your ears. Statistics show that out of Christianity, only about 9 to 10% are really in tune with God. Many Christians go to church and do a little bit what I said prior, warm the bench, and we've done our weekly duty within the church. But living for Jesus is more than just speaking to Sunday. I hope we know that. Be open to the Spirit. Sandra, thank you for sticking your head in the door this morning. And stop. That's what it says, stop. Right there. But go to a message. What I'd like for you to do now is, all those that have real Bibles without an index, stand up. No thumb index. Come on. Okay. Harley, you got a baby in your hand. Jonas, you got a Bible? Stand up. Susie, you got a Bible? Oh, she's not going to stand. There's a minor prophet. He's so minor that some Bibles don't even have it. And I know you're going to look it up, Cheyenne. And I'm going to get you to read it. But you're out of this contest. We're just going to. This book only has three chapters. It's Zephaniah. And that's going to be our key verse. Zephaniah. So, go. We're going to wait till everybody finds it. Then, Cheyenne, I'll get you to read it. You might bring a mic to Cheyenne. Loretta has it. Who else? Yeah, we got three, four. Come on, brethren. Your sisters are outnumbering you. Yep. There comes a brother. Yep. All right. Some more sisters got it. Yep. All right, that's good. Anyway, I have my other Bible there with Susie. It's kind of tattered. And you know, it's not because I read it that much. I don't read it enough. But I kind of take it everywhere I go. So Wednesday mornings at prayer meeting, it goes along and has my own personal commentary in the back. All right, you can sit down. Cheyenne, you are going to stand up and read that for us, right? Chapter 3, verse 17. And I'd like for you to include 16 as well. You don't have to stand up if you've got your lap, whatever. Zephaniah 3, 16 and 17.
In that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, "Do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy."
Very good. In that day shall be said, "In Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack." Got that? We're going to be doing something. I'm only thrift store now. I'd like to challenge you, and I'd like to challenge us here as a church, to come up with a tract with New Holland Mennonite on the back. and stating when our worship times are, and give them out liberally. Let's do it. Come up with a tract put together by somebody here in the church. Give it up. Share the word. You can make a difference. Pray for that tract when you hand it to somebody. And it's not always appropriate to have a prayer with that person, but sometimes it is. A little question like, where are you at in life? Doesn't have to be a necessarily Christian question. Where are you at in life? You got something special we need to pray for? That's the way we share the gospel. Now, I'll have to tell you a little bit about this book. This prophet here was, I've got to find my note. This prophet here was one of the minor prophets, and he was talking to Judah, preaching and prophesying in Judah, and he was probably in the same time period as Ezekiel, Jeremiah, especially Isaiah, who were ministering and prophesying to the tribes of Israel. He was prophesying to the tribe of Judah. And Judah, like Israel, had fallen away from God. And if you turn back to the first chapter of Zephaniah, the word of the Lord, which came unto his, a bunch of names there, and to in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, I will utterly consume all things from the land, saith the Lord. I will consume men and beasts. I will consume the fowls of the heavens and the fishes of the sea and their stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. And the name of, and there's another long name, and with the priests, the ungodly people. So you see, Zephaniah, after he warns the people, and we need to do that. We talked about in the Sunday school class. When do you preach hellfire? Yes. But you see, a loving way is to take that person, know that person, and tell him that in some kind of a loving way, God will, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He will lead you where you won't turn that person off. It won't happen all the time. Some people will, in fact, I experienced that up in Shipshewana, Indiana. Some people will not accept the gospel. It brings conviction. They don't like it. It reminds them of their sin. But what our responsibility as Christians is, to share in a loving way that it won't turn them away. Call it apologetics. Anabaptist faith. I'll tell you something. The plain people are almost in the same situation as the Jewish people. We are a chosen race. Plain people, yes. You're the apple of his eye. And Jewish nation turned their back on God. We don't do that. We don't want to do that. We don't ever want to turn our backs on God. It is a privilege. Now, in my studies, I believe it was on the radio, Susan and I were traveling, the speaker said, connected with 4th of July, he said, you're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. Now, I'd like to reword that just a little bit. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are servants of God. We're his hands. We're his feet. We spread the gospel. We do it in the name of Jesus, not in our own name. Okay? 10 minutes or 12. If you would just hire, and here again I say, I argue with God about this. No, God, I don't want to do that. But maybe, just maybe, you're not doing it for me. But Todd gave us a good example. If you want to just open yourself up to God, no, you may not have sin. And I'm also going to say, you children. And then here's what happened to me. This is a testimony. I sat in the congregation many times when an altar call was given, and I said, no, I'm of yours, Lord, you know that. But when you come up, we make a decision public that I'm living for God. My desire is to please God. I'm opening myself as a servant to God. Now, we won't do that right away, and I'm not going to carry along on that. But also, over here, on this bench, if there's anybody that is a young child and said, you know, I really do want to live with God. Now, this may not be your conversion experience. If you're real young, God is going to talk with you, and you're going to get instructed. But if you want to come up here as children, we're going to pray for you. Remember, you're not rejecting me, and you're not rejecting God. You're not rejecting your walk with God, but this opportunity for you just to say, like Isaiah, here am I, Lord. Send me. You want to do that? We'll just sing a little invitation. One verse only. So we've got to get up, snap up, get up here. You can say it. Give it out, one of you song leaders. Lamb of God, I come. Now, if you would, just stand, and we're going to have a closing prayer here. And here's what I'd like for you to do. As a believer, you know somebody that's struggling today. Maybe he's walking in sin. Or maybe he's just struggling. Maybe he's discouraged. Maybe you know somebody. Somebody in your family, maybe. Maybe not even in your family. Somebody that you've been acquainted with. You have a real question if the Lord should come today, if he was right. Would he go home with God, with Jesus? Would he resurrect? Bodily alive yet? Jesus is coming. And here's something I'd like to share with you a little bit. Have you ever thought about how close this COVID-19 lines up with Revelation 6? One of those horses, and I can't tell you which one at this point, brought plagues and pestilence. Are we at the beginning of the last days? I really think we are. Today is the day when we can get right with God. Don't have to worry about it. We're talking about independence and freedom. That's the only way you're going to get it. Living for God. Yielding your life to God. Leaving your life, accepting Jesus Christ. You know, we have a lot of guidelines, and I'm thankful for it. It protects us from maybe getting too worldly, or getting too immersed in the world. There's some protection there in the guidelines. It's not all there. Some of us has to have it right in here. Right there. Is it here? Wherever it is. In our hearts. In our minds. And ask the Holy Spirit to to guide and lead you, and he'll do it. I want to tell you just a little quick story, and some of you at the morning prayer meetings have heard this story. But I met a guy at the Huddle House, and I was meeting a couple of men that I've mentioned already, Tim Johnson and Bill Watkins. And they didn't show up. I knew one of them was going to show up, but I thought the other one would. Didn't show up, so I said, well, Lord, here I am. I kind of like to go home, Susie, with Susie. It'd be kind of nice. She's probably still in bed. Anyway, and the guy was sitting there, and he was kind of in stature. He's about my size, not quite as much overhang, but he was a nice guy, and he had a cross on his chain. And I said, brother, would you like to have somebody to eat with or eat by yourself? He said, that'd be okay. I think we got something in common because you got a fish on your shirt. I had some kind of sports shirt on. And he commenced to tell me about his life. He said, Ray, we shared some humor and some serious stuff. He said, Ray, I have a lot of time. I'm a truck driver. I have a lot of time by myself. Some weekends I don't get home. Sometimes there's a whole week. I feel kind of sorry for myself sometimes. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. I like to be home with my wife. And one day I was riding along and I was meditating. And I said, God, I've been baptized. I've responded to an altar call. And I've given my life to you. And I'm a member of so-and-so church. And I'm, by your grace, living uprightly. But I've never heard from you. Is there some way, God, that you could manifest yourself? Speak to me audibly or somehow just to know that you're real. And we'll stop that stop sign, or stop light. And the light was red, stopped, and I saw him coming. It was an American bald eagle, came right at me. And the light turned green, so I just kind of eased up kind of slowly, and that eagle just went right around and led me. It was almost like he was on top of my hood. Just led me for a couple minutes. God is real. Answered that truck driver's prayer right there. And I told him, I said, the brother, I don't even know his name. You got a blessing for sharing that, didn't you? Said, yeah. I got a blessing for hearing that. And I'm going to hear it some more. So God is real. He cares about you. And he wants to smile on you. He wants to sing for you. Cheyenne read that verse. And read it again sometime. Read the whole chapter and you'll see why that verse meant so much to the people of Judah. So turn around. God doesn't want to withhold his blessing from us. We are standing for a word of prayer, right? Think about somebody that you know that is lost. Somebody mentioned my name in your silent prayer. Somebody's lost. Somebody that's struggling. All right, let's do that. I'm going to be quiet. God, you know, you have heard these prayers by brothers and sisters, and you know those people that are mentioned. And we have this confidence, Lord, that you will again, with your Holy Spirit, touch that person. Give another opportunity to yield his life to you and to heal him spiritually, her, child, whoever it is. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.